Well, welcome to the Intel Developer Forum. We're delighted to have everyone here this morning. It's just great to see everyone here bright and early and ready to get started for what I think is going to be a truly memorable IDF event. For you first-timers, I'd like to extend a special welcome to IDF. You couldn't have chosen a better one to attend. I think this will be one of the most memorable IDFs in a long time. For you many alumni, those of you who have been with us for many years, I also want to extend a heartfelt welcome. The IDF team has put together, I think, one of the most outstanding programs we've seen in a long time, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. One thing we all have in common, whether we're developers, managers, industry analysts, members of the press, is we all love technology. I mean, that's why we come together. Imagining and creating technology is what we're all about. And it's something we've done very well over the years, and IDF has really been a catalyst for bringing us together and pushing technology forward. That's why we started IDF in 1997, with this idea of bringing the community together. And that's why it's still going strong 10 years later. Yes, this is the 10th year for IDF. Now, knowing what I know as CTO, I can't think of another company I'd rather be a part of. I think our products, our technologies that'll be coming to market over the coming months are truly exciting. Even though we've been under tremendous competitive pressure, and you might think, well, maybe we'd have lost a certain enthusiasm for what we're doing, that's far from the truth. I think we are tremendously excited about what we're doing. And I believe when you learn about these technologies this week at IDF, you'll truly understand why I love my job. It's truly exciting. And because this forum is for you, we've been listening very carefully to your feedback. Yes, we really do read all of those IDF evaluation forms you fill out after these sessions, in the classes, and throughout the forum. And with that feedback, we've put together a program which I think reflects exactly the requirements you've given us. There'll be more opportunities to learn from the experts. You'll have more access to Intel's key technologists. And we've even created an opportunity to go deep on some of the key topics of the day. We have technical insight sessions. For the first time, there are four of them, and they'll be taught by the group CTOs and a number of Intel fellows. So you'll get some of our best and brightest folks giving you their deep technical knowledge, sharing with you their deep technical knowledge in these key areas. It's my turn this morning in the next half hour to give you a preview of this broad landscape of technologies that are coming to market over the next few months. Energy is on everyone's mind. It's the next frontier. We hear about it every day. You can't listen to the radio, you can't pick up a newspaper, you can't browse the web without hearing about energy. And not only has it become a critical concern in our daily lives, it's become a critical concern in just about every platform we deal with. Whether you're talking about a high-density rack mount server, or a sleek and quiet Vive platform sitting in your living room, or a thin and light notebook that you're carrying with you on your travels, or even in a handheld device, each one of these platforms has critical energy concerns. May relate to battery life, may relate to power density in the data center, but each one defines a power envelope, exists within a power budget that has to be understood and managed. Now, there's a fundamental tension here between performance and energy consumed. And that's what we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about this morning. It's a classic trade-off. It's one, for example, that automotive designers and builders have to deal with. We can either build a car that has tremendous acceleration and top speed and pay a significant price in terms of fuel consumption, the energy required, or we can build a very economical vehicle that has tremendous range, very thrifty on gasoline, but whose performance is less than exciting. So that's a fundamental trade-off, and it's just as true in the information technology space as it is, say, in the automobile space. So one might ask, is there a way out of this dilemma between power and energy, between power and performance, excuse me? And we began to study this some years ago, and the trend was a bit alarming. Over the years, beginning with Pentium back in 1993, and continuing to the present day with Pentium 4, every increase in performance required an attendant increase in energy expended. Now, this graph you see here, I want you to pay close attention to. I think it's the first time we've actually shared it publicly. What we're looking at here is performance on the horizontal axis versus energy per instruction on the vertical axis. So we're actually quantifying how much energy is required to execute one instruction on each of these processors. And as you can see, over this span of time, the amount of energy required to execute a single instruction has increased significantly, well over a factor of 4 over this time frame. So you might say, well, the data doesn't look very good. In fact, the trend seems to be in the wrong direction towards less energy efficiency. But a few years ago, at the Israel Design Center of Intel, a team of engineers were assigned the task of creating a mobile processor that would offer excellent performance, but be very thrifty in terms of energy. And their initial effort, what you know as Pentium M, was remarkably successful at achieving this goal. In fact, it was so successful that it actually matched the energy efficiency. It had the same, if not better, energy efficiency than the original Pentium processor. So we went from this steep downward trend in terms of energy efficiency, taking a, in some sense, a giant step backward to the kinds of energy efficiency we got from processors more than a decade ago. Succeeding generations of the Pentium M continued this trend. So even though they were getting faster, they weren't consuming more energy. Right? The energy per instruction, as you can see from that line, has remained constant. Well, you all know, those of you who attended engineering school know that two points define a line. And to us, this meant, hey, these guys are onto something. They've figured out how to build processors that can be quite competitive in performance, but exhibit the same energy efficiency as the original Pentium. And that was really a stunning result. Core Duo took this progress one step further, and for the first time achieved performance that was comparable to best in class. Right? So we had the foundation, right? We had the technical insights required to really revolutionize the industry. Let me show you some of the impact that this technology is having on design already. Of course, Core Duo was created primarily to serve mobile platforms. Here's a Centrino Duo platform featuring the Core Duo processor. This one happens to be from Sony, a particularly nice one. But Core Duo, because of this unique combination of energy efficiency and performance, is finding its way into other kinds of platforms. Here are two really stunning Vive platforms, very compact, very energy efficient, cool, quiet, and long running. The technology is so compelling that it's even found its way into blade servers. These are Xeon LV processors, the two of them sitting here, which are derived from the Core Duo architecture. And you'll hear more about this design in Pat Gelsinger's keynote that follows mine. So the Core Duo proved what is possible, and it's given us the foundation for going forward. Now, I should say that the trade-off between power and performance is not quite as simple as I just described it. There's really a more complex tension between three different elements. Of course, there's performance and there's energy efficiency, but there's a third point on this triangle, and that's capability. And this is the real challenge. How do we incorporate all of the capabilities of our leading-edge microprocessors into an energy-efficient design? Can we add things like 64-bit addressing, like virtualization, like management and security, without losing energy efficiency? And hopefully, while continuing to increase performance. And that's the critical tension. Is it really too much to ask to have your cake and eat it too? Well, we think the answer is resoundingly no. It's not too much to ask. And today we're announcing the Intel Core microarchitecture as the culmination of this long period of research and development that brought us to this fundamental insight in microprocessor design. Core microarchitecture combines energy efficiency, the same kind of energy efficiency I've just shown you in the Pentium M and Core Duo lines, with the features and capabilities that are now expected in the top-of-the-line microprocessors. So full 64-bit capability, virtualization, and all of the other sophisticated features of these high-end machines. And together, they deliver outstanding performance, not just in mobile platforms, where the technology originated, but in fact, across the entire range of platforms. So you'll see Intel Core microarchitecture implemented, again, in mobile systems, but significantly now moving into desktop systems and into server systems.